Terror Dome. I'm Jerry Terrifying. You're listening to the Mondo Coolcast. Tonight on the program, I'm going to talk about a Kickstarter that seems kind of cool. I made a pretty cool acquisition, and I did put aside on article on the site, but fuck it, I'm going to talk about it anyway. There's some Wii U and DS news that's pretty interesting. I apologize to Mitch. I totally fucked up today and did not download the Killer is Dead soundtrack to play in this episode. My bad. Alright, it's Sunday, September 1st, and you are listening to the Mondo Coolcast. This is the first live broadcast I've done in a while, and nobody's here because I didn't promote it because I'm shitty and everything is terrible and the world is awful. The first awesome piece of news that I have to talk about is, well, I got this new computer, which this is the first episode that I'm using it on, and there's all sorts of interesting issues with my DJ software that compatibility issues with Windows 7. And I did figure out how to make it work. I just have to reinstall the program every time I want to use it. It works. The next time I launch it, it'll work. But it won't play the music. And that just really bugs me. Like, I want to be able to hear the music in the breaks. And so I usually just play whatever I feel like hearing at the time. And so that sucks. But my... I've got a dual monitor set up again, and I was so excited to use it for the program because I can have my DJ software where I'm running my mics, controlling my audio levels, playing music, queuing things up, queuing up intros. I can have that on a dedicated screen and then have the chat and Facebook on the second screen, and it's really fucking handy and just convenient as the dickens. Well, last night I was kicking it with my friend Anthony, who's back from Arizona. And we were watching Mothman videos, preparing for Mothman Festival, which I'll bring up later, a little bit later. Let me make a note to myself where I want that in the show. Yeah, and I can have my show notes over on the screen with the DJ software and switch between those two. It's just a lot easier to keep things organized if I've got two things here, two things there, and it's always got two things visible. It's just so much better for running a live show. And last night, Anthony was over, we're watching some Mothman videos. He left, and, you know, I walked outside, locked my door and shit, you know. And when I come back, my main monitor was dead. The backlight works, but the monitor itself does not. And it's not my video card. I have my other monitor, and I tested both outputs. And, video card's fine, PC's just chugging along like a champ, but the monitor that I got for free from someone, which is actually the nicer of these two LCD monitors, shitted out on me while I was outside. That's so lame. And I thought I had an old CRT monitor in the spare room, but it turns out I threw it away, probably because I had two LCD monitors. And so now I don't even have a big bulky alternative. I don't have a giant monitor to fill up all my nice spacious desk area. And And, you know, that's lame, but hopefully someone I know out there has a monitor. Someone from real life, hopefully, because, man, I can't justify asking my tiny but dedicated fan base to mail me a fucking monitor. That'd be outrageous. But I'd take it. You know, I'm a shitbag. Nah, I'll just have to suck it up and pay for it like a man. Yeah, that's lame, and I'm pissed that it happened right the day before the show, man. How shitty is that? Let's see what people are saying on Facebook. Alright. What's your screen name? Precision25 clicked like on the post, but you ain't in the chat room yet, brother. Where you at? Where you at, man? Something I wanted to know, I was thinking about, I don't really want to monetize the website because I use Adblock like a motherfucker. And, you know, I don't particularly like I don't particularly like having a bunch of ads. And something I saw recently that just really itched my taint was someone put an in-video ad. Someone from the YouTube gaming community put an in-video advertisement, which means they made a greasy backroom deal with a website, and there's many second long video ad that plays in the video itself. So when you get done watching YouTube's ads, you get to watch this individual's ads. And it probably wouldn't have bothered me if it happened in the middle of the video. The reason YouTube was popular was because you can just watch some bullshit, stupid videos. And now that everybody's monetized it, and YouTube has gone out of its way to bury smaller channels and make it harder for you to gain notoriety, it's just become a shitty scene, man. Like, I'm still going to make YouTube videos because I like fucking around and making videos, talking about video games, and talking about things that I don't think get as much attention, or just shit that I think's really fucking cool and want to talk about. So I'm always going to keep making videos, monetized or not, because I genuinely enjoy talking about the video games. It's a fun hobby. Working on videos is fun. It's nice learning something and honing your skills, although I don't have many skills when it comes to video editing. It's pretty bland and normal, but I don't know. In my show notes about a month ago, I was thinking of ways to monetize the website that weren't so shitty, and I was thinking of just putting Amazon and eBay links that when you click through, I get a little taste. It doesn't cost you anything, and if you were going to get the game anyway, the only hassle is clicking through my website first so I get like a fraction of a penny. Now, I don't get the kind of traffic to where that really matters. Like, I went on a many month-long hiatus this spring. Shit, I think it started this last winter into, late summer, basically. Like, I was gone for 6 months off the face of the internet for a long time. And the website's traffic has dropped considerably, but we still get a decent amount of traffic. At the height of the website's popularity, we were doing about 9,000 views a month. 9,000 unique page views a month. That was the height. Our all-time low, like our current right now, is not lower than our lowest low. So we're still doing decent. God bless Retro Kaiser for pumping out all those anime reviews. He's really been enjoying it, and he really likes having stuff piling up in his little studio. And those are picking up traction. He's getting more and more views on those. And as they continue to sit on the website, they get legacy views from Google, which is pretty fucking cool. But I was just thinking that the Amazon eBay thing, if I just have a link to every game that I review, or talk about, that you can buy it through the website. I was wondering if anyone would actually use that. Is it worth me going out of my way to copy and paste a couple of lines of code for every video? Because I'm that fucking lazy, guys, that if no one's going to fucking do it, you know, why bother on the offhand chance that someone might grace me with their precious shekels? A couple weeks ago, someone gave me a box full of Nintendo games, and that was awesome, because there's like 40 fucking games in this box. I believe the count was 42, if my memory serves correctly. And I did add quite a few games to my collection, which is pretty dope. About 20 games to my collection. I had to reorganize my shelves. And I did post a video on YouTube asking about collecting things and whether or not you guys kept your shit alphabetized. I alphabetized my Nintendo games, and I added these 20-plus games to my collection. And I had to customize my shelves. I had to bust out the drill and get a couple of screws. And you can't really tell it's been modified unless you look at it and notice the spacing's a little off. And but it actually looks pretty fucking decent. But yeah, it was nice getting a bunch of games. And there was a Nintendo game in that lot that I had never heard of called Air Fortress, which is kind of like Metroid Lite mixed with a shmup. You're a little space dude, and you fly around on your Scooty Puff 9000 in a side-scrolling shoot-em-up stage, which is pretty fun. And the first couple of stages are pretty entry-level, but it does pick up. The challenge picks up smoothly as you progress. And I believe it's either 8 or 12 air fortresses that you have to destroy. So on your little, imagine a jet ski in space. That's kind of what it's like. It's a little personal spacecraft, and you fly, and you go through the side-scrolling stages to get to the air fortress. Then you get off your little Scooty Puff, and then you go into the air fortress, and you have to, like, destroy the reactor and then get out. So there's platforming similar to a light version of Metroid, and after you destroy it, you have a time limit to get back to your little Scooty Puff and escape. But once you destroy it, the paths change, so it becomes like this fucking maze. And after the first two levels, it gets really challenging really fast, trying to figure out your escape path. Really fun game. It was made by HAL Laboratories. I've never heard of this before. And for such a polished, well-made, and enjoyable game, from a known developer that's made some really good Nintendo games, I'm shocked that no one's ever talked about it. So eventually, once I beat the game, I'm going to put a review up. But I'm going to admit right now that I'm playing like a bitch, and I used maps to get out because I really don't want to figure out... Like, the shit literally changes. Like, you can't just go out the way you came. After you blow it up, the first exit you go out takes you someplace different, and man, I just don't want to memorize that. The first couple of levels, I didn't have to resort to a map, but eventually, I did. Really good game, though. You know, I could see if I was a kid or if it was back in the day, it wouldn't be as much of an issue, because you'd have plenty of time to dedicate to exploring. You know, the way games were released back in the 80s and early 90s, there weren't so many big-budget, gotta-play-it games coming out in rapid succession. You know, every year, there's at least 5 big games that I want. You know, there's plenty that I'm not interested in, but Killer is Dead just came out, and man, I haven't really played a lot of Suda 51 games, but I really want to. Speaking of which, I've been looking at No More Heroes, and that's fucking dirt cheap. And now Mitch has told me to ignore the PS3 version, but I kind of want to get the PS3 version because of added content and trophy support, and then just get the sequel on the Wii, and then maybe someday in the future get the first one on the Wii for that fucking pathetic collector mentality that I have that, you know, just compels me to accumulate more shit. Yeah. So that's what I've been thinking about. That, I think that's going to be the next... And I still really want to get Yakuza 3, because I'm still coming off that high of finishing Yakuza 2. So those are the three games that are really on my mind. Killer is Dead. You know, man, if I had $60 to fart away on a brand new game, all the bonus shit that came with it on launch at the base price, man, that's attractive. XSEED, man, they know how to release a game. Like, they really seem to care about video games and pleasing fans. And in today's industry, not pandering to the lowest common denominator and actually taking care of your niche market is a breath of fresh air. Jesus Christ, a breath. Whenever I misspeak, I tend to mash two words together. I was attempting to create a new unique colloquialism to express a breath of fresh air and save time. A breath of fresh air. Sorry for spurging out on you. A breath of fresh air. It's nice to see a company that cares about video games, that work on projects they're passionate about, and release unique titles that like to focus on assassins and titties. And, you know, those are two things that are very relevant to my interests. Yeah, man. I had an idea for a game show, and I wanted to make a pilot and test it out and put it on cable access. And I was going to talk about it in this episode, but I don't fucking feel like it. One of the interesting things that I saw pop up recently, Renegade. It's one of the Kunio-kun games, like River City Ransom, Super Dodgeball. Fucking, you know those games where they have those big mongoloid faces and, what is it, Crash and the Boys? All sorts of Kunio-kun games. Well, in Japan, there's going to be a live-action movie based on Renegade, which is one of the Kunio-kun games. I forget what it was. I think the game was changed to something else. I guess it wouldn't kill me to open up this link and read the story, because it's been like 2 weeks since I read this shit. And I don't remember all the details. Let's just read the news story. People love it when I just read things, right? Game developer, Technos Japan. Blah, blah, blah. Arcade. Yeah, okay. Hold on. It's like Japanese jumping out of nowhere. Game developer, Techno Japan's Neketsu Koha Kunio-kun, and then, you know, translates it to Renegade. Arcade game is getting both a live-action film and a live-action television series adaptation. The movie will premiere at the 6th Old Town Taito International Comedy Film Festival on September 14th. Actor Takuro Ono, from some shit we've never heard of, will play the main character Kunio Fuunji. And the cast includes Yukihiro Takiguchi, Kaho Takashima, Donpei Suchi Ihara, Azusa Yamamoto, and Ayami Misaki. Fujihiro Mitsuishi will direct the film. That's a bunch of Japanese names. The story revolves around Kunio Fuunji, a fit, hot-headed young man who transfers to Neketsu Koko, hot-blooded high school. Never fighting illogical battles, Kunio ends up wearing the legendary white coat that has been handed down as the symbol of all delinquents. The original Neketsu Koho Kunio-kun video game was released on arcade systems in Japan in 1986 in the same year. Technos and Taito released the game in North America and Europe under the name Renegade, but the companies changed the graphics and story for overseas markets. The fighting game has been ported to multiple systems since its release, including the original Nintendo PCs and the Nintendo Wii's Virtual Console. I thought that was interesting news. I always liked the style of the Kunio-kun games. Those big old mongoloid heads. Always distinct. Double Dragon was, you know, made by Technos. It's got that big old mongoloid head. I was recently trying to beat Double Dragon. I actually watched a video, and it gives you a couple of super hot tips for playing Double Dragon. I got further than I've ever made it before. I got to Mission 4, and it begins with there's these two walls, and then bricks slide out and just pummel the shit out of you. And each time one of these bricks hits you, it takes away, like, an eighth of your life. Like, it takes away a significant chunk of health. And I've not been able to get past that shit, because once you get hit by it once, you pretty much get caught in a trap. So I've gone through the whole game, one life, get to it, full health, ready to just rip motherfuckers to shreds, and then this fucking wall just obliterates me and gobbles all three of my lives, and it's awful and terrible, and there's no fucking pattern. I've looked it up. I was like, okay, there's got to be a trick to this. There isn't. It's completely fucking random. While there's no such thing as a truly random thing when it comes to programming and shit, it's more fucking random than my ape-like mammal brain can fucking cope with. And it is just destroying me. It's just ripping me to fucking shreds. All three lives wasted by this, just shredded by this wall. I've managed to get to the second wall many times, but that's usually where my last life gets drained, because once you get caught in the pattern, you can't recover from it. You can't just get past it. It just shreds your shit. So that's partially why I thought this news about the Kunyakun, about Renegade getting fucking live TV series and movie. I will probably download that. Because why the hell wouldn't I want to see that, you know? That's the type of game that was based on walk right, punch things. And that's really the way video games should be. Now, not always, but those simple, streamlined games were fun, and I miss them. In the video game industry, everything's got to be a cinematic, easily accessible experience now, because you don't want video game players to get frustrated. They won't play their game if they can't just win it the first time. I'm still in a state of disbelief about Nintendo's revolutionary new system where if you die a couple of times, the game will play itself for you. What the fuck, Donkey Kong Country Returns? What the fuck? I'm not sure how many other Nintendo games use that. I don't know if it's all fucking Nintendo games now. Like, are they going to release a Zelda where if you can't solve the puzzle, Link just goes on autopilot and solves the dungeon for you? What's the fucking point? You know, I enjoy mastering a game. Speaking of which, I've picked up Anarchy Reigns again. Mitch wanted to play a couple of rounds, and he just shreds my shit. Like, he's played the game way more than me, and he just shreds my shit. So I decided I wanted to get a platinum trophy out of it, because it's probably the only platinum game I'll be able to get the platinum trophy, because their shit's pretty tough, but the trophies, for the most part, look pretty reasonable to get. There's only going to be two. They're going to be, you know, any real challenge, and they're not the most challenging things in the game. But you have to play through the story mode four times. There's the black side and white side story, which have different protagonists. One's Jack Kamen, who you'll recognize as the chainsaw-armed dude from Mad World. And then the other one is Leo, which I don't know if he was in Mad World or not. I still haven't beat Mad World. I'm like at the second to last level. Anyway, you have to play through the game on normal, starting on the black and white side, so there's two playthroughs. And you have to play through the game on hard, starting on black and white side, so there's two more playthroughs. And those are turning out to be the most challenging trophies. I'm at the last fight of the white side on hard mode. And when Platinum makes a game and says it's hard, motherfucker, it's a hard-ass game. But I've gotten a lot better. I'm getting good, and I appreciate the challenge. I'm starting to pick up how the AI was fighting. There's the second-to-last story-based fight on the white side. Douglas is this old Marine, and his hits are fucking devastating. If you get caught in one of his combos, you lose a life, pretty much. His grab and throw move fucking does 3/4 damage. If you get caught in a combo, if he's juggling you, fucking 3/4 damage. And the AI is aggressive. So once I learned how to cancel, fuck him up, do some stuns, and get him juggled, I'm starting to pick up the game because it's so aggressive. But I'm not playing against, you know, fucking Mitch, which whenever I play against human beings, my ability to play games goes down 30%. Whenever someone observes, my ability to play goes down 30%. I just suck ass when people are involved. But being able to sit and throw an hour at this hard-as-shit fight and learn that character, how to do stunts and juggles and shit, learning some basic combos, I'm getting a lot better at the game. And I like that I'm starting to pick it up, that I'm getting better. And it's a shame that most people are ruined by this thought process, this feeling of instant gratification that they absolutely need always. It's lame and it's ruining video games. I don't have a problem with cinematic games. Metal Gear Solid's my favorite series. That is one of the most cinematic games. But the gameplay's still there, and it still offers you a chance to master it on the higher difficulties. It gives you an opportunity to think creatively and use your tools that you have at your disposal. It's almost like a little action and puzzle game. Setting up chains of events, knocking on a wall, setting off a guy hitting a landmine, which brings the attention over here, and then you can fucking snipe him. It's fun to fuck around with that and see what you can get away with, you know? Throw a snake at a guard and get him to run away. Shit like that. It's awesome. On the higher difficulties, Metal Gear really shines in terms of gameplay. Now, yeah, more than half the game is fucking beautiful cutscenes that are fun as shit to watch. But some of the rumblings I'm hearing about on the internet is this game called Gone Home, I think. And it's a cinematic experience, has like almost no fucking gameplay, and everybody loves it. I've seen quotes from developers, and I can't remember them, and I don't remember who the fuck it was, but I've heard actual developers of big names, like people you'd fucking recognize, talking about how you don't really need gameplay for a game. And with this new mentality, not to mention the social justice bullshit and the worthless gaming media, it's just becoming more and more attractive to really start clearing out that backlog, to really start looking for those hidden gems. A couple months ago, I was out at the thrift shops, and I found this Atari 7800 game for $2. Just $2 dues, and I got myself a copy of Tower Toppler, which is a platformer. You're this weird little frog dude. You got to get to the top of the tower, and that'll demolish it, and you move to the next. It took me like 20 minutes to beat the first level. You got to memorize how to go which way, what triggers this, how to get past the enemies. It was really fucking challenging. Even something as simple as lining up to get in the door requires precision. Like, you have to be exactly in the door to go in it. And when you got enemies chasing you down, it gets really frantic, and you have to be on your game. And I loved it. It's such a simple game. It's challenging as shit. I haven't made it past the third level yet. And I fucking love it. It's great. And it's such a simple game. And it looks really good. It's got some really good scrolling effects for the Atari 7800. Like, most 7800 games are pretty plain looking. But they do have that really good Atari look. I don't know. Anyway, you know, I dusted off the 7800 and I was playing a bunch of Tower Toppler, and it took me fucking forever to get the first level. And then after you topple the tower, you hop in your little submarine and you have to shoot prawns, like big-ass shrimps, to get points. And, man, that's a weird game. A little frog in a submarine shooting big prawns. It's kooky shit. I love it. You don't see anything like that these days. You know, if a game like that came out Where's the narrative? It doesn't... It's not art. It doesn't make you feel feelings. Man, video games aren't exclusively about being art. Yes, a game, in theory, can be a masterpiece work of art. A lot of artists come together to make, you know, one unified product that some may interpret as art, but not because of the plot, you know? The reason why a lot of people think Metal Gear Solid 2 is art is because it makes you think about your relationship with video games, your relationship with technology. It makes you question blindly following orders. That's way more gripping than Zombie Shooter 537, keep the little girl alive because, oh my god, she's so cute. You know? Look how strong that teenage girl is. Gotta keep her alive. Oh no, she's been hurt by the popcorn head zombies. It's not emotionally engaging at all. It's not introspective. It doesn't really make you think. It's just the same old cliched bullshit you've been saying since the zombies surged in popularity back in the fucking mid-2000s. It's getting tired, and I don't think that's being art, man. That's just being a big popcorn movie, which is something I can appreciate. I enjoy big, dumb popcorn movies. I like to just check out sweet shit happening, but I don't know. Video games aping action movies is not fucking artwork. Sorry, that's dumb. If you got an Atari 7800 or emulate, if you get down like that, man, check out Tower Toppler. That's a good fucking video game. I'm glad I found it. It looked neat, and I bought it for $2, and I had $2 worth of fun. And I'll probably have even more fun with it as I get further and further into it. It's something that's cool about Atari games is they're all arcades. Well, not all, but they're mostly arcade-style games, which is an era that has died, and most of the vestigial aspects of arcade gaming have finally died. When's the last time a game had points that mattered? When's the last time you got an extra life and gave a fuck? You know, the new Mario games and shit, they throw so many lives at you that you never have to... I haven't even played a new Mario game. But a lot of new platformers and shit, they throw lives at you. It doesn't matter. You get infinite continues. There's, you know, no real challenge. What doesn't, like, Super Meat Boy, as soon as you die, you start immediately where you were at? Or is that the Phil Fish game? Is that Fez, where, like, seconds after you die, it starts you from, like, a second before you die? There's absolutely no reason to master the game, and that's just fucking pathetic. I feel like I'm rambling. What's the next item on the show notes? The Wii U's getting a price drop. I believe it takes effect in November. I didn't write down all the details. But there's going to be a bundle that comes with Wind Waker HD and a cool-as-fuck Ganon statue. Holy shit. If I had 300 United States dollar edus, I would get this motherfucker. If I had the cash to buy a Wii U, I would get the Wind Waker bundle. $300 for the 32-gig unit. I believe it comes with a download copy of Wind Waker, which is lame as fuck. I'd rather have a case because, well, I guess you can expand the Wii U storage with external hard drives and SD cards and thumbsticks and shit, but 32 gigs and then having Wind Waker HD on it, it's probably going to eat up more fucking memory than I'd want it to. But that Ganon statue... And $50 off for the Wii U. I'd like to wait till it was 200 or less. Like, for being honest, for, like, you know, if I'm gonna let you in the bro zone and fucking tell you the truth, $200 is what I would like to pay for a Wii U. That'd be just right. But that Ganon statue, you know you want that shit. Look at it. It's fucking gorgeous. I actually enjoyed Wind Waker and its art style. I love cel-shaded games. They age great. I don't think I've seen an old cel-shaded game and gone, ooh, yuck. It's always like, damn, that looks pretty fucking good. But you let it look at Jet Grind Radio. How old's that game? Fucking creeping up on 15 years old. Looks fucking gorgeous. The 2DS. There's a new version of the 3DS. It does not have a clamshell design. It does not have a 3D screen. And it costs $1.29. I kind of want one. I do want to take advantage of the 3D gimmick on the 3DS. You can record up to 10-minute long videos in 3D, I hear. And I can think of many sexy uses for that because I'm a horrible person. And, you know, I know that within a week the 3D gimmick would wear off. I'd get like, oh, okay, I've got some 3D pictures, that's neat. And like, oh yeah, this game looks pretty cool in 3D, let's turn that off forever now. I know it would wear off. So, the debate is, I know it's gonna get old, but I still want to fuck with it. I want to be jazzed for a week and play with it and make brilliant 3D films for personal use. But for $1.29, I could replace my DS Lite that has a fucked up hinge. Fuck the hinge, man. I hate that shit. I don't carry handhelds in my pocket. If I was going to go anywhere and take my handheld, it'd probably be a waiting room, like at a mechanic's, which is something I'm going to have to do soon anyway. And, you know, I would just throw it on the passenger seat of my car and then sit in the waiting room and play that shit. You know, like, I don't really carry handhelds around like a Spurglord. But it plays 3DS games, 2DS games. It's $1.29, doesn't fold up, no 3D on it. But it can still take the 3D pictures, you just won't be able to split. I believe it still has the two front cameras for taking the 3D pictures. Because games are programmed and expect that shit to be there. It's probably for the alternate reality games and shit like that. But eventually, someday, when I got some fundage, I could always just get a 3DS. Because I end up having two Nintendo handhelds anyway to trade Pokemons. Which, coincidentally, the 2DS comes out on the same day as Pokemon. Which, what a coincidence that when one of the biggest Nintendo franchises is releasing, it's releasing with a budget model piece of hardware that's $40 off. Big surprise there, which, you know, good for you, Nintendo. I bet you sell a lot of 2DSs. Now, Nintendo of America, Reggie Fils-Aimé, has gone on record as saying that this is intended for 5- and 6-year-olds who are, like, notorious for destroying shit. They see a flappy hinge and they just want to snap that shit. So, it being $40 cheaper, being a little less attractive for children to destroy, makes a lot of sense. But I'm also kind of interested in one. If I get a video game system this holiday season or for my birthday, it'd probably be a nice affordable 2DS. But that's something, you know, I could save up. Easy peasy. And, yeah, so I'm kind of interested. There's not really so many 3DS games that I want besides, like, MGS 3D, and that's just for my sick Metal Gear addiction. But I really want to replace that DS, that fucking hinge, man. I can't lay down and play it. I have to keep my left forefinger holding the top screen up, and it's just not comfortable to hold it like that. It's not comfortable to play that bitch in bed. I think the 2DS looks kind of cool. A lot of people are talking shit, I don't see the point. $40 less doesn't have the gimmick no one uses. It's pretty fucking obvious what the point is, and I see there being a niche for that market. You know, they're not discontinuing the 3DS. You can still go get a 3DS XL if that's what your heart desires, which is probably what I would get. I've also had an idea for resurrecting Mondo Cool magazine. I'm thinking it might be quarterly, or, you know, maybe just every other month. But I'm thinking about resurrecting it as a newsletter that's free. And within the newsletter, I can format it with HTML. have links to the different articles, have videos directly embedded. Most of the people that worked on Mondo Cool Monthly are down to write unique articles for it. And the big thing I really want to push is that at the end of every single one of their videos, I want them to have a disgusting, filthy advertisement promoting it. Because in-video ads are a thing I totally fucking love when they benefit me. I won't fucking deny it. If I'm pushing my agenda, advertising's fucking awesome. But what would you think about signing up for a free newsletter? Have similar content, plus videos, maybe some unique interviews. Because I can just embed links to, like, MP3s and shit of interviews and early access to Mondo Cool TV footage. I can throw that in there. And it's just a newsletter, not selling nothing. What do you think? That's what I'm thinking. But this time, instead of going from concept to first issue in 3 weeks, I want to build up some content. I want to write like maybe 10 or 20 fucking articles, have some shit in advance, some buffer zone, and do it that way. I might make some exclusive videos for the newsletter, and I don't know. Let me know what you guys think, if you'd be interested in that. If you don't know, Mondo Cool Monthly is free on the website. The PDF version's, like, every issue's free. Once I gave up on that retarded dream, I made it free. You know, I'm not going to be a crybaby, take my toys and go home. So if you haven't checked it out and you want to check it out, just head to the main website, MondoCoolCast.com. Top left, I believe, is where the Mondo Cool Monthly link is. Let me check that out. Yeah, the very first link in the very top left, Mondo Cool Monthly. Grab the PDF. The Amazon shit's still for sale because I can't make that for free. You can't price anything lower than 99 cents because Amazon wants their 30%. And I believe they take 70% when it's 99 cents. If you put something at a dollar, they get 70 cents of it. That's why the magazine was priced at $2.99, so that I actually fucking got something. And that's why I pushed the PDF, because I got 100% of those delicious $2.99, which isn't true. Fucking PayPal took between 30 and 50 cents. So, but it was better than Amazon by a little bit. Anyway, go check out British Steel's beautiful work. Some of those issues look really good and professional. Check out Justin's covers, man. The second one with Buffy the Vampire Slayer and 999, that's a good-looking cover. Like, I would, if I saw that on a newsstand, I'd be like, hey, it looks like the fucking magazine on a newsstand. Neat. I wouldn't think, oh, look at this garbage, some faggot made in his underwear. I wouldn't think that at all, because it looked legit. And there's a lot of clever things in Justin's Mondo Cool covers that I appreciated. Especially Dirk the Daring Skeleton throwing his shoulders over fucking Gillian Seed and the cast of Snatcher. That was some top-tier photoshopping, my man. So yeah, that shit's free. Go check it out. You have no excuse not to. And let me know. Leave a fucking comment if you're interested in a Mondo Cool monthly newsletter. If you got some Mondo Cool articles and videos in your inbox, would you look at it? Would you be pissed? Would you sign up for it? Please be vocal. If you're like one of... There's hundreds of people that listen to my podcast. Maybe 5 of you ever write comments. Go to your fucking keyboard, guys. Fucking squawk at me about some shit. Call me a shitbag or something. Let's get some fucking death threats. I'm still shocked that when I said Final Fantasy isn't a role-playing game, I only got one guy that talked shit, and then the next day he's like, I'm drunk, I'm sorry, you raised good points. What? I was expecting some fucking nerd tears. Keiji Inafune, creator of Mega Man, has started a Kickstarter. I forget the name of the game, but it's basically the new Mega Man. It's very obviously a new Mega Man. So if you're the type of person to throw money at projects and you don't think Capcom's going to shut his shit down, throw some money at it. I'm not going to play it. I don't play fucking indie games. I'm too good for that trash. But if you're interested, this looks cool. I'm excited to see where it goes. Maybe it'll get like a PSN release in the future or something like that, and I'll consider getting it. If it does like real well or some shit. That'd be pretty cool. Yeah, my dude, he's back in town, and his car is not a shitbox like mine. My fuel pump shitted out on me about 2 weeks ago, and I'm, like, just very slowly coping with that problem. Like, I've diagnosed it with some guidance from my brother, and I've determined it's the fuel pump, and I need to crawl into the car and see if I can see the fuel pump. It might be something we can fix in my driveway. I might have to get my shitbox towed somewhere, which is fucking lame. Yeah, but anyway, Anthony's back in town, and he's actually got a car for, like, the first time in his life that isn't a complete shitbox. And he's so super 100% down to go to anime conventions and chase chicks and look up fucking skirts and see a bunch of fucking girls dressed like Japanese schoolgirl sluts with their panties hanging out. And, oh boy, Anime Ass Jams 2010, if you've been a fan, if you've seen Mondo Cool TV Episode Zero, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And, that is actually, I posted something on Facebook, like, if I admit I'm e-bagging, does that make a difference? Like, does that make it charming and endearing? And I don't want to ask. Like, the only people I think that would give money are the people who have already given me tons of shit. And I'm not going to ask you guys to give me gas money so I can make videos of girls' upskirts. I considered it when I typed it, and then I immediately regretted it. And I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm not going to delete this message. So one loudmouth crybaby's like, he took the message down. He's fucking, what a faggot. So it's like, fuck it, I'm going to roll with it. And people thumbs it up. And not surprisingly, it was people that sent me tons of awesome shit that would be like... Okay, I'm going to talk about something. A lot of the people that have given me shit have been like Latin American dudes. And I think I have... I'm totally going to say some shit's going to get me in some hot water. If anyone cared about who I was or the dumb shit I says. I think I have such strong fans that happen to be the Latin American dudes because those dudes are macho as fuck. Those are the kind of dudes that'd be like, hell yeah, looking at up skirts, fuck yeah, bitches panties, fucking A, bro, that's awesome. I think that's what it is, man. My fucking inner masculinity resonates with those fucking... segments of American culture that are also macho as fuck. That's my theory. I could just be a retarded bigot. Whatever. I mean, it's not the first time you've heard some fat, bald, white guy say something stupid on the internet. But for whatever reason, it has not been people of the Caucasian persuasion that have ever sent me shit. And I don't know what that's... I don't know, man. It's always kind of perplexed me. But, not surprisingly, the people that have sent me the most cool shit, Precision 25, Strider, they clicked thumbs up on that shit. And those are the people that I thought, man, I bet they got $10 on the fucking gas fund to send me to an anime convention to fucking make video compilations of girls running around dressed like whores. But, don't fucking do it. Especially you two. Fucking... Freddy and fucking Lewis, don't fucking do it, man. You guys just sent me so many fucking Neo Geo games, fucking Neo Geo controller, a bunch of Sega Saturn shit, a fucking Game Boy, like, all tons of cool shit. And but Death Adder, you're a fucking filthy honky too. You can feel free to send me some fucking gas money. You haven't sent me as much shit as them. You sent me a fucking peach knee-high and a fucking RC Cola. Pathetic piece of shit. Now, I feel bad about e-begging. I feel bad about getting shit that I haven't solicited. But at the time, that's why I typed it. Like, my fuel pump shitted out on me, so I'm going to have to save up some scratch to get that fixed. And these conventions and shit are happening this month. So that's why I was considering asking the Mondo community if they wanted to just PayPal a couple dollars for the gas fund. If you did it, I'd say cool. So I guess I am e-bagging. But I'd kind of prefer it if no one did. I mean, does that make sense? Like, I'd prefer it if you just called me a filthy... If you told me to get a fucking job, that's what really needs to happen. Enough people need to start telling me to get a job so that I stop being a pathetic piece of shit and can afford to drive to the other side of the state to look at bitches' butts. And that's what really needs to happen. A lot of people in my real life, they've asked me, or they think it's weird that men from the internet send me free video games. I'm like, well, it's not that weird. I've sent people games. Like, I was listening to Critical Failure's podcast. He was crying about a Sega Saturn, so I sent him one, which apparently got destroyed in the mail. And that sucks. But I tried, goddammit. And the last time I talked to him about it, he said there was no packing. But I know I always use grocery bags, plastic bags, to pack everything down tight. So maybe it got fucked with in transit. Maybe, like, some postal worker poked around in it. I don't know. But it got fucked up, and that sucks. But I've sent people shit, and people have sent me shit. And I think what it is that you choose to listen to me rant and rave like a lunatic for years. A lot of you have been listening to me for, like, 2 or 3 years. And after the live show, I usually tell very personal stories. I'm pretty open about everything in my life. There's very few things that I keep to myself. And you feel like you know someone. When you've heard someone talk for hours and they heart-to-heart your shit, because I get on these faggot rants where I just fucking unload on my stupid podcast, there's a lot of people that are just like, I'm sure they feel like they know me. And fucking Balzac, that kid knows my whole life story. He knows it better than I do, because there's tons of stories I don't realize I've told in the after hours or on the podcast. Tons of shit. And so you guys know exactly who I am. So I think that's what it is. And it's cool as fuck, man, that technology has made it to where some idiot can scream at his desk about Mega Man until he gets a free Neo Geo game. That's the American dream. And I'm glad I can share it with you guys. But that's what I was thinking when I posted that Facebook post. And it may not be a thing about the Latin American community, but that's the stereotype that I've grown up with or hear or understand that Latino dudes are... Honestly, I couldn't tell you the difference between Latino and Hispanic. I think I looked it up once. But dudes with Spanishy-sounding last names, the stereotype I've heard is that they're, like, just way more macho. And I think my blatant disregard for social conventions and, you know, making sweet videos about girls' butts and costumes, I think that's what resonates. I think that's right there. I think, the comments you get that I get on the show where it's, like, more relaxed and it's just, like, a couple of bros sitting in the garage drinking some beers, shooting the shit. I think that's what resonates with people. I think I need to look and see if I got some comments. So, I will probably play a song. If anyone really does want to give gas money, by all means, PayPal that shit. But we're going to Mothman Festival, which is in 2 or 3 weeks. It's like the 21st and 22nd, or maybe the 22nd and 23rd. Let me look at my calendar real quick. Yeah, 21st and 22nd of this month is Mothman Festival, which is in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. I live real close to the border of Western Ohio, and that's just over the river of Southeastern Ohio. That's probably, if I had to guess, 3.5-hour drive, maybe? I've never been through that way, but I'm guessing a 3.5 hour drive. And this is how shitty I am. This is my thought process right here. I want to offer gas money to Anthony for this trip because he's driving. So let me exploit my 5-person internet podcast audience. How shitty is that? That's the exact thought process right there. And that's why I asked, if I admit if I'm e-bagging, does that make the difference? Because if anyone tries to decry it, I can play this audio right here, where I'm just like, nah, man, I mean, if people want to give me money to go to an anime convention to get video of butts, if people want to give me gas money to go fucking chase down Mothman at his annual festival, well, shit, that's their problem. They made that poor choice. And I'm not hiding it. I'm, you know, y'all know my situation. I'm a fucking bum. I don't like to work. I like to play video games, fuck it, eat chicken, get high. And, that's my deal. Fuck yeah, it's pathetic and skeezy as shit, but what are you gonna do, man? It takes all different kinds. I'm going to play a song from the Mad World OST because, I did not finish setting up Sam Broadcaster at all like I was supposed to do. I was supposed to have the Killer is Dead soundtrack. Again, I'm really sorry, Mitch, I didn't download that because I know you love hearing new video game OSTs, and you gave it to me because you're a bro. And I started to download it, but I had to shut down before it finished downloading, and I never went back for it again. So there's my shitty excuse. When I come back, I'm going to read some comments and emails. I believe I got a couple. I haven't checked yet. I'm going to do it while I play the music. So maybe I'll just come back after drinking some delicious beverage and close out the show. But I'll be back in about 2 minutes. This is Ain't That Funny from the Mad World OST. I got sidetracked doing some dumb shit because, you know, it's just how Jerry Terrifying does it. So Balzac finally joins us. I'm getting ready to read some emails. I'll probably talk to him in the after hour zone. Let's see, and I need to get to my comments. Ah, got one thing to do and I can't do it. Let's fucking check in with Balzac. fuck it. Yeah, dude, you're just joining me as I was getting ready to read my fucking email. It's been ranting and raving for an hour, dude. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, brother. It's a 3-hour difference from you. I believe you're a West Coast bro. Anyway, Death Adder wrote in. Wow, I cannot believe that it's already November. Time sure does go by fast. But in reference to your last Mondo Coolcast in July 2013, great show. Smartass. I'm sorry that I had to resort to terrorist demands. The last thing I wanted was to have Jerry Terrifying's blood on my hands. You have to send Mitch some Kool-Aid. I just wish they still sold Blue Dini, the color-changing Kool-Aid. And like most awesome Kool-Aid flavors, it was dropped because it looked too much like antifreeze. I blame the 90s kids. Those kids are dicks, and they're all over Facebook. I haven't been following this anti-attractive women in video games thing very closely, but why does any of this matter? It doesn't. Women only play games with Mario in the title, touchscreen games, and I want... Wait. Touchscreen games. I want every last one of my video game broads to have giant dinner plate nipples. I thought this was America. Well, thankfully, Glorious Nippon is our savior, and they don't give a fuck. They like titties, and they make video games about it. If you're not familiar with the feminist agenda, my man, hit the Google machine and look up any review for Killer is Dead. Now, I've heard IGN hasn't even put their Killer is Dead video review on YouTube, where it would get thumbs down into oblivion and shit-talked to hell in the comments, or they would get obliterated for disabling comments and, excuse me, it's like burped like a maniac. They would get their shit blown out for disabling comments and shit, so they'd either get a massive backlash because most people want to see titties in games. It's a very vocal minority. And the problem is the gaming journalism. They need to do what's called clickbaiting. So they end up acting like a bunch of retarded high school girls that initiate and foster this drama and this shit-talking just because they want attention. And just like a retarded high school girl, the gaming journalism wants to do the same, because they need attention, they need advertising, they need people to click their links. And, fuck them, man, install ad blocker, that's what I do. Fuck them. Just sap up their bandwidth, give nothing back. That's my motto. I actually downloaded a user script for Chrome that blocks ad blocker blocker, so now I can watch blip videos without it saying, please turn off ad blocker, we're gonna make you wait 1 minute instead of watching a 30 second. Fuck you, user script, 0 seconds. It's not like I watch that many. It bugs me because it's not like I watch that many blip videos. I you know, come across a blip video maybe once every 6 months to a year, so you know, fuck it. But I was happy to just wait 1 minute and do something in another tab until I heard the video start playing. I was more than happy to do that. But I happened to see a user script that is an ad blocker blocker, and I was like, fuck yes, let's install this. But DeathAdder83, go to Google, look up Killer is Dead. All the media about it, all the reviews are like, it's a pretty good game, the art style's insane. But the disgusting gigolo mission where you have to look at tits and avert your eyes when the woman looks is really silly and fun. But no, these neckbeard fedora-wearing faggots, you know, it's bad to be sexually attracted to the female of the species. That's disrespectful. And to have fun in a video game and be silly? Yeah, now it's a hot-button social justice issue. Where were they 4 years ago when No More Heroes came out and it's just a sexualized? Where were they at when literally any other Suda 51 game came out where it's all about fucking big tits and assassins? No social justice then. So, I mean, it's out there. You know, I'm be thankful that you've avoided it. Hold on, I gotta answer this text message. British Steel wrote in, "It's good to have a Mondo Coolcast again. I started playing a Snatcher ROM last month, and when I watched this intro, I felt sad when I heard the music. Or when I watched the intro, I felt sad when I heard the music. It would be nice to have the weekly show back. Also, fuck the X-Bone. I'm pretty much done with the new consoles. Just collecting games I missed out of the GameCube, PS2, and various ROMs." Which is not a bad way to do it, dude. Hold on. Totally gotta send this text message right now. Yeah, what are you gonna do, dude? There's thousands of games that we've missed. There's tons of hidden gems. There's tons of games you've meant to play from prior generations that you can emulate, download, pirate, buy, collect, get re-releases, whatever. However you want to do it, there's so many fucking games out there that are amazing, that don't pander to people that don't even play video games, that just want the attention because, why won't anyone pay attention to me now? Oh, I know, let's shit on a hobby that we don't really give that much of a fuck about. Darth Talus wrote in, "Bruce Campbell does appear after the credits of the Evil Dead remake, however, it's pretty pointless." Well, it's after the credits, of course it's pointless. "The one thing I like about the X-Bone fiasco is that gamers finally used the piece of meat between their ears. They finally made noise both verbally and financially. They attacked Microsoft on all fronts. I was frightened people would just willingly become Microsoft's prison bitch and accept what they offered. For that alone, I am happy. As for Microsoft, or more specific, Don Matrick, how the fuck did this guy get in charge of the Xbox and essentially its public relationships spokesman? His backhanded comments about Xbox 360 being an offline alternative..." I know, wasn't that fucking genius? "And no, the PS4 is the offline alternative. Way to go, Don. And then the vitriol he had for gamers when he reversed the DRM policy. It's the gamer's fault the Xbox One is gimped in your deluded little mind. Fuck you. Now he's CEO of Zynga, a failing company, and one that has been involved in dirty business practices. Sounds like a match made in heaven." Yeah, that is interesting how corporate culture works. You fuck up, you bail out, you go to another company, and you just keep riding those golden parachutes until your new tax bracket is an even richer millionaire, and no fucks are ever given. God bless America. I love that after a certain level of success, you do almost no work, like no actual work, and except for like talking to people and handshakes and making deals and, you know, just a little bit of paperwork here and there, and then it doesn't even matter if you fuck up. Like, isn't Steve Ballmer leaving? Hasn't he fucking crashed Microsoft just into the fucking ground, and now he's going to retire? And I'm sure he's going to get a shitload of money on the way out, too, and he'll just go fuck something else up. And, what are you going to do, brothers? Strider writes in, "It's good to finally have another Mondo Cool cast. Time to light one up and talk about tits and ass. Ain't that right, brother? Isn't that exactly what I was talking about?" This guy fucking gets it. God, I'm such a misogynistic piece of shit. But honestly, man, having met real-life human females is what does it to you. But damn it, I love them. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Balzac is saying in the chat room, "Submission review on Killer's Dead 2. What's the fun?" Balzac's heard some mixed reviews on Killer is Dead. I hear most of the people enjoy the combat and the visuals. It's just that disgusting gigolo mode burns their soul to its shitty little core. And, I don't know, it looks cool. If I had $60, probably would have bought it. Actually, I'm going to play a song to end the show. I'll bullshit with you in a minute, Balzac. I'm going to go hang out with a friend probably here in the next 20 or so minutes. So I'll bullshit since you showed up. I totally meant to all week, like, promote on Facebook that I was going to do a live show. people liked it on the Facebook page. Bradley Smith, who I'm not sure what his screen name is at all, but he likes a lot of shit on the Facebook page, so I know him from there. And I believe Precision 25 clicked. Thumbs up. Actually, fuck it all. I don't know. Blah. Something I'd like to do, the server that I use for my Shoutcast server, if you upgrade to the paid version, you can play the show on like iPhones and Androids and shit. And that's something I think would be cool, but I don't want to pay for it. If I had money to waste, or if the website was making any kind of money itself, like earlier in the show, Balzac, I talked about using Amazon and eBay links to generate money for the website. I don't have enough audience. Like, every single person that listens to this podcast would have to buy games every week off those fucking links for it to even to begin to matter. And it probably still wouldn't be enough to pay for the paid version of the server, which lets you play shit in a higher quality, I think. And but it definitely lets you play. It supports mobile apps and shit. Yeah, I'll spend more time the week before the show promoting it. I mentioned it once at like 4 in the morning behind a post about e-begging. And a lot of people liked that post. That's what gets me. But whatever, dude. I'm going to play a song down the show. I'm going to... I thought I had something queued up. That's not good. I was trying to find this. There's one song on the Anarchy Reigns soundtrack that I like, and I can't remember the name of it. And I tried adding, I did add the, shit. My brain no good think make talk sounds when trying to read something. Fuck. I'm not seeing it. Not seeing it at all. Because I wanted to play that song. There's only one song I like on that OST. So it looks like we're back to Mad World, which is probably the best video game soundtrack. If it didn't have a bunch of dumb lyrics about fucking Mad World, it would be the shit. Like, I really like the beats on this soundtrack. Like, the music's really fucking good. Yeah, okay, there we go. We're gonna listen to It's a Mad World, and then I'm gonna bullshit with you till I leave Balzac and the, fucking world-famous Mondo Cool After Hours. This is It's a Mad World from the Mad World OST. Play that game. Play more Platinum games. Play some Clover games. Some good-ass games. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Mondo Coolcast. I'll try to have this, uploaded. It'll probably be real late tonight or sometime tomorrow, but soon. I'm going to try to keep up the habit of, as soon as I get done, getting it up. this is It's a Mad World.
Feel your chest cavity split. It's a mad world. Better watch your step. It's a mad world. Now take your last step. No one can be trusted. Get your face busted. The result is a fatal concussion. Organ combustion. Metal spike rusting. Pull your back jack. Has no time for discussion. Start that busting. Man doors cushion. Your flesh is a mess while I'm pushing. Your body in a trash can. Who will be the last man? Ask. me, I reply, Jack, while I'm bashing your head in. Homicide veteran, psycho, if you would leave, then you might go crazy. You and me, schizo, better get insane. I must come across pain, price on my brain. Sad $10,000, don't let the chainsaw stop ya. I slice loose in my luck to a surgeon. This is my world and I'm still here lurking. Your chest cavity split.